I love the way that we greet each other here at Regen, which is, hey, my name's Todd, and I'm a new life in Christ, and I struggle with lust. I struggle with selfishness. I struggle with just a love of me. How you doing? And I will tell you, it was about, if it was 34 years ago, it was probably just a few years before that, my orphan heart was given a name. And I came to a place where I really understood what the gospel was all about. The gospel is just a fancy word that means good news. And this is really good news. God's not mad at you. He's a loving father, which I know is a difficult word for you guys, for many of us, because we don't have good earthly fathers. But that it was really good news when I came to discover that God's not mad at me. He loves me. He wants me to have a relationship with him. And the reason we don't is because I just think I'm smarter than him. I just think I don't need him. I think he's there to ruin all my fun. I believe the lie that everything I wanted to do, God was going to kind of grab me by the collar and say no. And everything I didn't really want to do, including going to boring meetings on the weekend where no real life change was happening, and the songs that were sung were not, frankly, songs I'd like to sing, and the rituals they practiced were empty and dead. I just didn't want to do it. And so I managed my relationship with God. I stayed distant from him, and I kind of depended on my own way. And then somewhere, you know, about 38 years ago now, it's hard to believe, I got to a place where I understood the good news, that I'd just been given bad information. I'd never listened. I'd never let God speak to me. I'd never met his people. And when I did, it changed my life. Now, what's so interesting about God is that he is always going to be more interested in me knowing his will and knowing him than I will ever be to seek him. Let me say that to you again. Because a lot of people go, man, what's God's will? You need to know something. God is more anxious to reveal his will to you than you ever will be to seek it. God is more anxious to have a relationship with you than you ever will be to him until you fully know him. Right now, I know him by faith. I see him dimly. And because of that, I still have to discipline myself to seek him, even though I've benefited from the larger part of the last 38 years of walking with him and seeing the fruit that it's produced in my life and seeing the kindness of walking in his way. I still kind of sometimes buy this idea that, yeah, it's just better if I go Todd's way. Because as I told you, I struggle with, I've been delivered from, and I kind of go to war with all the time, the fact that my heart is desperately sick. It's deceitful above all else. When Jesus was here, when God, part of what God did to reveal himself to us is that he spoke to us through prophets. He spoke to us through revelation where he told us what right and wrong was, just so that we could see that we aren't as right as we should be. That's the reason God gave us the law. The law is a tutor, which means it teaches us something, which is that this is what holiness looks like and none of us can attain to it. But then it says in the scripture, most fully he spoke to us through the person of his son, who is the visible image of the invisible God. Now, here's what's so crazy about Jesus, is that when he was here, there was something that marked his life more than any other thing, that if you were a friend of Jesus and you watched him and you saw just the amazing love that he had, the kindness that he had, the power that he had, you would find out right away that Jesus didn't think that it was all about him. Now, let me explain something to you. I'm going to just give you a little theology just for a second. If you gather with us on the weekends, I actually mentioned this yesterday. Jesus is fully God. He never stopped being God. Even when he came into the world and became and took on humanity, he never stopped being God. But what he did do while he was here is he didn't hold on to his deity in the sense that he didn't say, I'm going to use my ability to do whatever I want to do, whenever I want to do it, to know whatever I want to know, whenever I want to know it. I'm not going to use that in a self-contained way. I'm going to do what humans have always had to do, which is trust the Father and walk with the Spirit. And so Jesus, when he was here, he never in any way failed to do that. And because of that, he was the most intimately attracted person that ever lived. And his disciples said this to him one day. They said, Jesus, teach us. It's in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, if we've got it. It's an amazing little verse of scripture because they're watching Jesus and they don't say, hey, teach us how not to screw up. They don't say, hey, teach us how to be smart like you. They say, Jesus, because they've watched him and they realize there's a key to his life. And they said, Jesus, teach us to pray. And I thought, I asked myself, if folks hung around me a lot, I wonder what, because they see me doing something all the time, what is it they would ask me to teach them to do? Right? It would be, Todd, teach us how to, what defines my life more than anything else? And what should define my life, ultimately, is this one thing that defined Jesus' life. And people won't probably say it to me in the same way, but what sometimes folks do say to me is, Todd, would you teach me how to walk with God? And here's the key to walking with God. It is prayer. Now look, we all come in this room, and it's scary as all get out to come into this room for the first time, and we're trying to figure out what everybody else is doing to make their life all right. And here's the thing. You need to know something. None of our lives are ever going to be right until we learn to do this one thing, which is to pray. And what I want to do tonight is I just want to walk you through what Jesus said when his disciples said to him, man, we notice this about your life. We know you've got power. We know you've got this kindness and this love and this goodness all over you, and you always are sneaking away to get to a lonely place. But it's not like you just do this activity of prayer. Your entire life is marked by this thing, and this thing is what you're going to learn that we talk about here is step one. Jesus, as the fully God, who didn't regard equality with God a thing to be held on to, but he emptied himself and said, I'm going to trust the Father like all humans do. I'm going to listen to the Spirit like all humans should. And he's going to still be fully man. And so what he does is he then says, as the fully man, God, will you lead me and will you help me live my life in a way that will be pleasing to you? Jesus in his flesh was unable to do what God wanted him to do unless he stayed in relationship with God, just like me. When we walk in the room, one of the things we all will say a little bit later tonight to one another is just simply this. We'll say, hey, I am powerless to live my life in a way that isn't destructive, a danger to others, and an offense to God. I'm powerless. Even to this day, having known God for 38 years, I've said it yesterday, I said it just a minute ago with the leaders, I'll say it to you, I've seen zero improvement in my flesh. I still want to grab things that I think will give my flesh happiness. I still want to use people. I still want to love things. I still want to find momentary pleasure and satisfaction. I still want to vent my emotions. My flesh is just as attracted to all those things as it's ever been, but what's changed in me is I've come to understand the goodness of God, and I have learned to say, Lord, I don't want to live Todd's way anymore. Todd's way brings guilt, it brings shame, it destroys relationships, it gives me momentary pleasure, but man, is there ever a sting? There's an old Indian proverb, okay? Indian dot, not feather, we like to say, all right? So Asian Indian, okay? Y'all with me? Okay, so Asian Indian, that they have a saying that is, he who rides a tiger must prepare to dismount. And look, man, sin's like a tiger. When you're riding it, it's like, man, look at that brother. He's having a big time. Look at that guy. He is getting after it, right? But here's the deal. Sooner or later, you're going to slide off that tiger, and you better be ready to deal with that tiger. It's going to destroy you. That's what sin's like. There's moments of fun, you're the life of the party, and everything's gone the way you want it to go. Most people ride a bull for about 1.2 seconds. I know when I did, that's about how long I was on it. You probably ride a tiger for a whole lot less than that. And then you get devoured. That's what sin is. And I just was sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I heard about a guy who wasn't mad at me that I kept falling off and getting devoured by my choices. He just wanted me to have life indeed. So watch this, here I go. I'm gonna spend some time with you and I'm gonna tell you what Jesus said when he talked to his disciples and they said to him, hey, would you teach us to pray? Would you, because people who know they're powerless to live their life in a way that would be pleasing to God, pray, that's what they do. They go, help me. And that's what I do all the time. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean be on your knees in a closet saying different words. It tells us to pray at all times in the Spirit. What that means in the Scripture is you want to always have an attitude of dependence on God, and you want to lean not on your own understanding, but constantly listen to God, who desires to have you walk in a way that will bless you. See, I became convinced God was good when I saw that God wasn't mad at me, but wanted to rescue me from my sin. And I began to seek him. And again, not as much as he was seeking me, but I began to seek him. And then I learned his good ways. And so my life has changed. My flesh hasn't changed, but the operating system changed. Because my prior operating system was this: God's not good, his word's not true. Obeying him is a kill, and a buzzkill. And all of a sudden, the operating system that I was living under from this moment forward was, God, you're good. You love sinners like me. You love guys that are addicted to porn like me. You love guys that are addicted to self like me. You love guys that want to abuse women like me. You love guys that have idols like me. Thank you. Teach me to walk in your ways. Disciples said this to Jesus. Jesus, teach us how to pray. The first thing that Jesus said, actually, if you combine Matthew 7 and Luke 1, Luke 11, those are the two places I'm in, is he said, make sure when you pray, you don't pray in meaningless repetition like those who don't know God do, who think that because of their many words, and suppose because of their many words, they will be heard. Now, what's so interesting about how Jesus taught us to pray in just a moment is he did it in a way that today, guess what we have done? We've taken this model prayer and we've made it a magic prayer where if we say these words, it helps us. And so when we mess up, there are certain denominations that say, go say 10 Our Fathers. And what do? The very thing right before he gave us this prayer, he tells us not to do. Who think because of our many words that somehow will be heard. No, he says there in verse 8, this simple word, he says, don't you know that your Father knows what you need even before you ask him? Which kind of begs the question, well, why should I say something if God knows what I'm gonna say? Here's another thing I wanna tell you. God is sovereign and God's gonna do what he wants to do when he wants to do it. And so the question is, well, why pray if God's gonna do what he wants to do when he wants to do it? Here's the reason why you pray. Because God designed you to live in relationship with him. You may as well ask, why breathe? All right, I'm so sorry. Just, would you turn that off for me? All right. So listen, all right. So you may as well ask yourself, why breathe? Because God created you to be a creature that breathes. Okay? And so God created you to be a creature that prays. The reason so many of our lives are screwed up is because we don't walk with God. When you don't walk with God, who is life and light and love, you get darkness and death and hate. And so he says, walk with me. Well, how do I walk with you? Well, you talk to me, you pray. And so this is what he says. He gives us a model prayer. Jesus didn't say, well, when you pray, pray these magic words. What Jesus says is, when you pray, pray like this. And he starts with this, a word that's hard for a lot of us in this room, because a lot of us in this room didn't have good fathers. But he starts by saying father, which means there's a relationship there. You need to know this, because I know a lot of you guys didn't have good fathers. You go, that's why I have a hard time with God, Todd, because my father was a jerk. My father was oppressive. My father was abusive. My father was absent. And I want to tell you something. Your earthly father is not a reflection of your heavenly father. The truth is, your heavenly father is the perfection of what your earthly father should have been. So all the things that you hate about your daddy that he wasn't, just know that God is all of those things. And so rightly do you hate the perversion. What God wants is earthly fathers to be a picture of protection and provision and kindness and love. And so some of you guys have got dads that are like that, but just don't get too lost in that first word. Just know this: God loves you, and because he loves you, he's not gonna leave you as an orphan, and he wants to teach you. Here's the first thing I wanna tell you, is that your father has got a word for you, and he's not here to rip you off, he's here to set you free. He loves you. He's never frustrated when you fall. That's what kids do. He's not frustrated when you rebel. He understands what it's like to be tempted. You know that? That's what the Bible says. That's part of what Jesus is he's been tempted in every way that you have been. He gets it. He knows how hard it is to trust a God you cannot see. He knows how hard it is to live in a world that is filled with sin and temptation and death. He's not mad at you. He just wants to strengthen you. He wants to help you. He wants to protect you from the trouble that is to come. He wants to give you wisdom that is beyond your years. He knows you won't listen to him perfectly. He knows you're going to sin. That's why he made provision for your sin. But when you see how loving your Father is, you should want to follow him. This book is not a rule book. It's not a bunch of laws. It's the word of your Father. And what he does is he tells you a story. It's a story anchored in the context of history. It starts with the creation of humankind, why humankind's all screwed up. God says, don't be surprised that the world's screwed up. This is not the world I wanted. It's the world you made because you rejected the God who is light, life, and love. And so your world's messed up. It's filled with darkness and hatred and death. But I'll rescue you out of it. I'll even redeem you from that. It's a love story of God pursuing you. In the middle of the love story, he tells you, just so to be clear, you're clear, this is what holiness looks like. And you go, crap, I can't do that. He goes, exactly, because you're not holy. But I am, and guess what? I'm going to make provision for you because I'm a loving Father. Now watch. What he says is, hey, listen, if you want to know what I'm like, listen, here's some other people I made like you, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's what he says. I'm the God, I'm the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So if you read your Bible, just for the very first book, just Genesis, you're gonna find out that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob would say, hey, I finally have a new life in Christ. I struggle with lying, insecurity, anxiety, and deception, and lust, and a litany of other things. And what you're gonna see, though, is that God keeps seeking his kids. He says, go look at my resume. Go look at what kind of dad I've been to other people. I'll be that kind of dad to you. I'll make a covenant promise to you and a blessing to you. When the Bible says, and Jesus says, when you start by praying, you pray to your Father. See what kind of father he is. He's a good father. Hallowed be thy name. He says, just remember God is holy. He's nothing like you. He doesn't act like you and think like you. He doesn't have conditional relationships and friendships. He doesn't say, if you do me right, I'll do you right. He just says, no. In fact, holiness is not an attribute of God. It defines all the attributes of God. His love is holy, meaning it's perfect, without blemish. It's not screwed up by selfishness and sin. His patience is holy. His kindness is holy. Everything about God is holy. And so he says, just remind yourself to start off, your Father in heaven who loves you and knows you is perfect. So when you pray, just remind yourself, I'm not talking to a God I got to appease. I'm not talking to a God I got to please. I'm talking to a God who is just like a daddy should be. And then he says this. When you pray, just say, Lord, I'm not home yet. Your kingdom come, which is a reminder that the reason that you're in a world that's still racked with trouble is because this world is not as it should be. So he's saying, just in the very beginning, just acknowledge that this God that is good, that loves you, who is perfect, you're in a world that isn't perfect. Jesus, when he was here, just said, listen, in this world, you're going to have trouble. People are going to be abusive to you. Why? Because you live in a world filled with abusers. You yourself were an abuser. Many of you are abusers because you learned how to abuse. You were taught how to abuse because you had a bad dad. But let me be your daddy. Let me make you a blessing. I was talking to Joanne walking in here tonight, and Joanne just said, 2 years ago, I went to Regen. I walked in that room for the first time 2 years ago, and tonight she's walking into this room again as a leader for the first time. And you think about how jacked up, right, her life must have been, you know, just like mine before she met God, and now all of a sudden she's not a curse but a blessing. Why? Because she got to know her dad. And so when you pray, just remember that you're here to bring a little bit of God's kindness to others. You're here to share the family blessing. Until he brings his heaven to earth, that's what you're going to do. And so watch, Jesus is telling you, when you pray, pray like this. Just acknowledge that we're not home yet. Don't be surprised that the world's going to still be screwed up, that there's going to be trouble, that people are going to be imperfect. But you're going to keep pursuing your Father, who is perfection. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And then he says this, give us this day our daily bread. This is what I want you to know. The healthiest people at Watermark, and John said it earlier, are folks who are here who know how desperate they are. They know that I got nothing, man. I'll say it to you again. I have seen zero improvement in my flesh for 38 years. You leave me to myself. I'll be kind of like a guy is kind at a bar to a girl that he wants to abuse. I'll be as whatever I have to be to get what I need from you. But ultimately, it's going to be about me. But I don't want to be that way. I want to be somebody that just every day, I just go, Lord, give me today, give me right now what I need so that I can love the way you love me. And it's not something that you get one time and never need it again. There was a guy who was speaking one time, like I am now, and somebody came up to me afterwards and said, man, that I believe, my life has been so changed by that message that if I never hear another message, I'll be fine. And the guy looked at him and said, man, you may as well have just eaten a big breakfast this morning that filled you up so much that you never have to eat food again. We need to continually be reminded on and feasting on the truth of who God is. So this idea that apart from God, it can do nothing, Jesus just says is that you want to just say, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, which is a continual prayer all throughout the day. You want to start and just constantly remind yourself that, hey, Lord, I can't be the person I want to be in this conversation unless you help me. Jesus said, just remind yourself of that. Don't check in with me and leave, but walk with me. Forgive us our sins. Just every now and then, you're going to walk in a way that's inconsistent with how God wants you to walk. And so Jesus says, just acknowledge it. I'm not mad at you, but when you start to do things without a mindful understanding of who I am, just stop and go, wait a minute, that was not of God. That was me leaning on my own understanding or walking in my old ways. And I want to just say, hey, that right there, that word, that harshness, that attitude of insecurity, that me-centeredness, that me wanting you to like me more than me trying to figure out how I can love you, I want to just confess that. I want to agree with God that's not the way of life, and I want to begin to walk with him again. Lord, you've forgiven me. I want to be forgiving to others. One of the hardest things in this room that you got to go through is that place where you finally go, I'm going to forgive those that haven't lived prayerfully in my life. Because you're going to come to find out how amazing the forgiveness of God is. And when you understand how much he's forgiven you, you're going to gladly learn to forgive others. He says this amazing thing after that. He just says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We don't just want to be people who say, God, lead us not into temptation. And by the way, I want to tell you something. One of the things that happens in a room like this is everybody thinks that we're tempted like nobody else has been tempted before. But I just want to let you know something, okay? You're right. You're unique, okay? Nobody struggles like you struggle. Your struggle is overwhelming to you, just like everybody else's is to them. No temptation is overtaking you, but such as is common to man. But with the temptation, God will provide the way of escape also so that you might be able to endure it. It's possible. But one of the things you don't want to do is say, God, deliver me from this temptation, and then walk right back into those things that caused the temptation. Right? You're going to learn to change your playmates and change your playgrounds because you don't want to say, Lord, deliver me from temptation, and then go right back into that place where temptation is. Lastly, it says, really, deliver us from temptation and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Really, the word is the evil one. There's an enemy who wants to devour us, and he wants to lie to us, and he hates us. And the way that you are delivered from him is to resist him with words that are true. And so one of the things that you're going to learn to do here is to listen to your father. And you're going to put your father's words in your heart because the enemy's words are all over your flesh and all over this world. And you're going to resist him with truth. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living it according to the commandments of his loving father. His word you're going to hide in your heart so that you won't destroy yourself by living an unholy life before God. And then it ends with probably a tag that wasn't there when Jesus said this, but it is, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And what you're going to just remind yourself of in the midst of that is that, hey, this isn't about me. God's in control. God loves me. God's going to finish this good work that he began in me, but I'm going to need to be constantly prayerful. If I'm going to have any progress in my life, I'm going to have to live step one all the time. Jesus, when he was here, the first words out of his mouth were, blessed are those who pray. Not really. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, which is to say, those who know they don't have what it takes in their flesh to live a life that is a blessing to others. I am completely powerless over sin. Todd Wagner, pastor of Watermark Community Church for 20 years, follower of Jesus for 38 years, I will screw up my life and hurt other people if I don't live with Jesus. We don't have a program here to change your flesh. You came in here with same-sex desires, you're probably going to walk out of here with same-sex desires. You came in here with your mouth watering at the thought of alcohol, you'll probably walk out of here with your mouth watering with the desire of alcohol. But what you're going to do is begin to say, it isn't what I want. I'm going to live the way that my Father wants me to live because he loves me. Now, eventually what will happen, and God can, by the way, change your appetites, but he won't necessarily change the appetites of your flesh. He's going to change the appetites of your heart and your mind and your soul, which is still going to be trapped in a body of death that you're going to learn to not be a slave to by the power of God which lives in you, because you're going to live the way Jesus lived when he was here, which is constantly listening to your good Father. That's what we do. So our Father's not a magic prayer. It's a model. His is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. You don't have to do anything. You're only responsible for your own attitudes about God and your own actions as you walk with God. And so you're going to know that one of the favorite things we love to do around places like this is pray the serenity prayer. We said, Lord, give me the serenity or the wisdom to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference, because yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. I'm not going to be able to change the bent of my flesh. I'm not going to be able to change the course of this world. I'm not going to be able to change the fact that it's a liar here. But you can be sovereign over all of that because yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. And I live amongst other people who understand that we're at war and that you've given us everything necessary to win it. Your Father loves you. He's not mad at you. And this good work that he's begun in you, one day he's going to take this corrupt flesh that you and I have and he's going to change it. But until then, he gives us the power to live in it, in a world bent towards sin, in a body that craves sin, with an enemy that loves sin, to step on sin's head, to be made new, to walk with him as people of his kingdom. What a privilege. Father, I pray that my friends would do that tonight. This would be the beginning of some of them just saying, Lord, I want you all the time. I pray that folks that are around regen, that people would say, man, would you teach me to be regenerated? Would you teach my life to go from ashes to beauty? Would you teach me how to have bright eyes again? And we can say, what you're really asking me to do is teach you to pray, to walk with the God who loves you. And so, Father, who is nothing like us, but is so perfectly filled with love that he gave his Son for us, we just say, we don't want to do what we want to do. We want to do what you want us to do because all your ways are peace. Father, would you heal us? Would you forgive us for just how jacked up we've been? Would you let us forgive others because we see how much we've been forgiven? Oh, Lord, give us the wisdom to love what is right and true and not to run to temptation. Protect us from the evil one. Thank you for your word and your spirit, which will tell us things that are true, that will give us the ability to walk in righteousness. Give us today, Lord, what we need. Friends, your spirit, your word, that will encourage us so that we can live in relationship with you. And some of your kingdom will come to earth. Some of your power will be renowned, and others will see it. And your glory will be spread. And others can come and be regenerated with us. Lord, bless my friends that are here humbly tonight. Let them encourage each other now in Jesus' name.